Just following on from that really great talk that we just had, which was all about having to give up a bit of the control, this is really about how we totally took control to create our community. So, well, I'll just let Danny get started.
Yeah. Okay, so just to get you guys... give you guys a bit of perspective on who we are, what we do. This is Nadine Toussaint. She's the social marketing and design officer. I don't know, her title's changed several times.
Yeah, we can't decide who I am. I'm the social marketing and design officer from the WA AIDS Council, but I was previously the Freedom Centre coordinator. So it's been really great having a job in which I get to develop websites now, and having the perspective of being the Freedom Centre coordinator, I've made it a bit of a priority within my role. So...
And I'm the Freedom Centre coordinator now. So, that was something that was really lacking within the Freedom Centre previously, was a lot of the web stuff, and we're going to take you through a bit of the journey of how we've developed that. So just a bit about Freedom Centre. Freedom Centre is a project of the WA AIDS Council. We're basically a peer support and information centre that provides like a safe social space, so in a drop-in context, for same-sex attracted and gender-diverse young people. So it's under 26, our age limit. And it's basically run by youth for youth, so that's a really key part of our services. So we're funded by the Office for Mental Health as part of the National Suicide Prevention Strategy. And like I said, we're a project of the WA AIDS Council, so we're managed by WAC. So WAC is our acronym. I think some of you are probably down with the acronyms, but just in case. And then the key objectives of our services, these first two are what we do, what previously we've mainly done just in the drop-in space, but we've actually evolved that to be something we can provide a bit more on the website through the forum. So decreasing emotional, social and cognitive isolation that's associated with somebody realising their diverse sexuality or gender, and basically empowering young people to enhance their health and wellbeing by providing relevant information and a peer context and set of attitudes that and values that encourage that. These two... objectives are ones that we cover more outside of the drop-in space and in more of our information provision and also our professionals trainings that we offer. Decreasing negative attitudes towards same-sex attracted and gender-diverse young people in the wider community. I'm going to stop saying those big mouthfuls and say DSG. It's diverse sexuality and gender. It's more inclusive than all the labels with LGBTIQ A to Z. I'll say DSG from now on just to get that set in beforehand. And then also to increase the range of health and education and counselling services that are basically inclusive of DSG young people and have the right knowledge and skill base in order to support our target group. So, we do that through a number of ways, information stalls, our actual information resources, and now, of course, the website.
Okay, just a bit of the history of Freedom Centre. Freedom Centre grew out of young men's HIV prevention education workshops in the early 90s, around 93, 94. A one-day-a-week drop-in space called the Freedom Centre started running out of another service. Around 97, 98, it received funding through the Here for Life Suicide Prevention Project, which did education in schools and secured funding through the National Suicide Prevention Strategy, which is how we're still funded today. Previously, we've had a number of websites, and 2002 was our first web presence, and that was a pretty basic website. 2000, sorry, was a pretty basic website. 2002, it was redeveloped by a volunteer. Freedom Centre is predominantly a volunteer-run organisation. So 2002, a volunteer redid it, but this was pretty unsustainable. 2003, we acquired funding to develop a youth-based website targeting more young people in regional and rural areas. As you appreciate, WA is a pretty big state, so getting our services out to the whole state is pretty hard. The funding for that project ran out around 2003, and we were left with this website, which we really couldn't do anything with, and it was very unsustainable. So around 2005, we started using MSN to do online chat to same-sex attracted young people. It was a way which we could sort of use what they were using and start to give them peer support and information online in a different way. And that's been really quite successful. That grew out of the CyberReach project, which was being done through the WAIDS Council to provide information to gay men and men who have sex with men in chat rooms. So the Freedom Centre chat service began, but there were lots of limitations. The Freedom Centre only has one paid staff member, which at the time was myself, and I would run the chat service when I could, but it was fairly limited. And what we did find, though, was the service itself was being under-accessed by young women and trans or gender-diverse young people, but online we were being able to really access those groups. So that was where we were being able to provide the most support to them at that time.
It's also important just to mention that originally, as with CyberReach, the idea was to actually go into places like Mogenic, which is a set of forums and it was developed by young people for young people, and it was already there by DSG young people for DSG young people.
Yeah, the plan was to do outreach into communities that were already there, but we couldn't actually access them. We got permission to go in to do some outreach in Mogenic, but then the site went down for about, I think, 9 months. So those trials that we were going to do through that site, we kind of changed the direction, and that's how we ended up using MSN instead, and that became a really successful way of providing that online support.
After briefly trying out Pink Sofa, which didn't have very high numbers or anything like that. So our offline services, just to give you an idea, the drop-in sessions, which, like I said, it's basically a hangout space. We've got a set of rules and guidelines that that sort of set that precedent for the attitudes and values and expectations we have in the centre of respect for all and providing that safe space for people, no matter where along the lines they are, from questioning their sexuality or gender all the way up to identifying as LGBTIQQP. Anything else? We have a team of volunteers, and that's really important. I have a team of about 15 volunteers who help me to facilitate those drop-in sessions, just to make sure that those expectations are being upheld, nobody is feeling uncomfortable or disrespected or anything like that, and that we are providing relevant information wherever we possibly can. We also do a number of special events, particularly around Pride time. We always go in the Fair Day and in the parade, and sometimes run some other events. Like this year, we've done an open day. And then we've recently just restarted doing regular retreats. And we also run workshops and both recreational workshops and educational workshops, particularly on our Saturday sessions. And then, of course, like I said, both informally and through things like emails or one-to-ones in the office or that sort of thing, we're providing information and referrals to any other support services that young people might need. And then, as I said, trainings for other professionals working in either health, education or counselling sector about supporting young people with diverse sexuality and gender. Online, and this is a bit of what we're talking about the journey towards, but currently, and we'll talk about how it got to this stage, but currently we provide through the website our Dear FC function. That's basically like an agony aunt type of thing where somebody sends in a question and then we have the Dear FC page within the website that we post that question and then our answer with any links to any other relevant information or any general support, or usually trying to prompt them to come into the centre or check out the forum as well.
Just on that, the Dear FC function has been really, really useful. Like was said just before the break, young people won't email anymore, and we had a over time, less and less young people were emailing us, and that was pretty much the only way other than the FC chat that they could contact us. Since we've put this, which is a little box that says Dear FC, and they can just type in something in there and send it, and it will get posted to the website so it can be anonymous, we've just had so many more contacts, and it's also just increased then the number of those young people who engage in email support and one-on-one support online.
Sorry. I was just going to show them. Just that there, the big green box, that's the GRC function. And, yeah, like Nadine said, now I get what I should get in an email in a DRFC function, and they can choose not to have it published to the DRFC page on the website. But just, oh, I can't point. Yeah, the green box is and so yeah, I get so many more emails than what I used to do because it's so much easier for them to just do it there.
Sorry, I've just got a question.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, there's a box there that says do not publish this question to the website, and so they can put their email in and I can just send them an email.
And we don't publish their email address or their details.
Yeah, no contact details. I can show you.
Yeah.
Well,
not the posting,
I get it.
As soon as we get it and can read it and can put it up, but it's pretty quick.
So the question doesn't come up and then
you're answered.
No.
Yeah. Under 26, so our youngest visitor at the moment is 13. We don't really have a bottom age limit, although I think the youngest we've had young people accessing us is 12 to 13.
We do occasionally get email contacts and online contacts from young people who are around 12 as well, and online support through the chat service.
And we also get contacted by parents. In particular, recently I've had a few parents contact me because they've got trans or gender diverse kids down to the age of 6. So often under 12 is when it might be a parent that's contacting rather than the child themselves. That's just the DRC page, so it's got a whole lot of slide options, so the question or part of the question and then the answer available, just to let you know. Sorry, too many screens. Where were we? Okay, so, that's the DRFC function. Obviously, we've got heaps of information on our website. I'll change again. Sorry, bear with me. There's all these screeny things. It's really freaky. A big information section, which has a series of information pages on a range of topics, and then some of our resources, which is our booklets, You're Not Alone is for young people, Someone You Love is for their family and friends, and then we've got like a poster that we distribute to schools and services that want to display our safe space message, which basically says this is a safe space where everyone's respected and respected and listened to and has rights and is valued and has the freedom to be themselves. And then a range of other resources that are from around Australia, because that's something we really wanted to do with this website, is so often if I did get email contact, people would be asking me for different information. I'd be sending them to links of all over the place. And so now it's really, really easy to just say, look at our info page. And there's heaps of different information resources on that. So.
And before we had the site up, you'll notice that we've got different portals for different target groups. So we've got an area on the site which is for young people who are supporting young people. So it might be a friend of a young person who's with a diverse sexuality or gender. We've also got an area which is specifically for professionals and for parents, and they're all written a slightly different way and also provide different information. I think often a lot of sites which are made by an organisation for same-sex attracted young people might have a lot of that information and all that negative stuff and all that research that's out there, which is quite negative, and in the same space as where a young person will be accessing. So we wanted to keep those bits a little bit separate, so that the information about the young people wasn't in the same place as where they would be going.
Yeah, so the professionals website has a whole lot of extra links that for either students who are studying anything to do with human services or diverse sexuality and gender, they can go there, or professionals who are wanting to get a bit more of a background information, there's a whole lot of research papers and links to different information that's relevant as well. Okay, sorry.
So a big part of what we've done with redeveloping the website is we have an online forum now, and from working with a lot of the young people, they'll use things like MySpace, and because they're often so, I guess, desperate to make contact with other young people who are going through similar experiences to them, their ideas around safety can often be pretty dodgy. So you'd have young people who would meet other young people through MySpace on a queer forum, and then they would come in and tell you how they've been chatting them through them to them on MSN, and then met up with them and got themselves into really dodgy situations. We also had a lot of young people asking us, you know, why we didn't have a MySpace page, why we weren't using Facebook. And we've got some concerns, I guess, about the accountability for the organisation, but also in terms of linking other young people up with other young people who might not be suitable, sort of under the umbrella of Freedom Centre, was a bit of a concern for us. So what we wanted to be able to do was, instead of going into their spaces and potentially facilitating some unsafe situations, creating a space which we could then, I guess, invite them to, or hope that they could find, where we could really, I guess, sort of structure a bit the safety and use that as a bit of a forum for educating them around safety. So when they are going back out into things like using MSN or using MySpace and using all the things that they use, that they've got some considerations about the safety around, I guess, around their privacy settings and giving out personal information, which so often they just so freely do. So that's been a big part of us trying to make the forum online in a bit of a controlled environment, I suppose.
Sorry, just to backtrack, that's also just our blog spot that we have, which was something we developed before we actually had the facility for the forum. So that was another interactive way of engaging the young people, and obviously has comments, facilities and stuff like that. With the forum, this is the, like up the top right corner, you can see that we've got the short version of the rules that are available, and it does have things like don't post yours or anyone else's private information, including MySpace addresses and stuff like that, which was that those are little ways that we're trying to, as well as the terms and conditions are a bit more lengthy and more detailed in that sort of stuff, but it was a way of us trying to kind of condition them to do that sort of safe online interaction and have a bit more of an awareness of how they of online as a public space and putting their personal and private details out into that public space.
Also, the Freedom Centre in its actual offline is a respectful space where people have to respect other people completely. So we've really tried to put all of the same rules about respect and respecting each other into the forum, and that's worked really well.
That's just a glimpse at, that's my profile page from the photo from the Pride Parade. But yeah, so that's just a bit of an insight into the forum. That's just our sub-forums, and within each of them there's all the different threads and stuff.
Just to give you a little bit of background, the forum's actually only been online since the middle of August, and we've had about 65 young people join up, and it's really, really active. And I know a lot of organisations who might set up a forum and then actually nothing really happens. This is a really, really, really active forum, and I think a lot of that is because a lot of the young people have come out of the offline community and they've really continued that online.
It really has become their sort of online home and their online Freedom Centre. A lot of them say they wish they could never leave the Freedom Centre drop-in space, and this has kind of been our way of providing that 24/7. It's also become my new addiction, online. So it really has become the Freedom Centre space in an online capacity, but 24/7, which has... It's done more than what we had hoped for in terms of people taking that ownership, providing discussions and that sort of stuff as well, which we'll go into a bit more later. I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. Just in terms of the rest of the services that we provide, that's the FC chat, as we talked about, so that's the MSN, and they approach us with Freedom Centre because of the drop-in context of us. We're not an outreach service, so they actually contact us, they add us to their MSN, and then they start a conversation with us on MSN.
Yeah, we won't actually initiate a conversation with any of our contacts. We just sort of sit there and wait for them to engage with us.
From on the website.
Yeah, from the website. So,
then they add that.
Yeah, they'll add that to their MSN. And there's been a couple of interesting situations with that. with Danny was talking to a young person on MSN who then asked if their friend could join in. And this young person, the first contact, was actually had made contact with the service on behalf of their friend and was just sort of getting a bit of a sense of whether it was safe and whether they would actually be helpful, and then got their friend into a three-way conversation and then left, and left Danny to talk to the young person.
Who was actually in need of some information and referrals and support and stuff like that. Yeah, I found that really interesting. And it's also been interesting in terms of, again, both the forum and the chat, in terms of how our regular visitors communicate with us and get support and stuff from us on an ongoing basis. Okay, I think we've... Yeah.
I was wondering, with chat, I guess it's one-on-one communication, so you wouldn't find out too much, but with forum, how much moderation do you do? So how much control do you have? How much control do you assert on what goes on inside forum?
Do you mind if we answer that in a bit? We've got a bit more to talk about. Yeah, I will definitely pick me up, though, if I don't answer all of your questions, but we are going to go into that in a bit more detail in a sec. So, oh, is it doing? Oh, okay, so we've shown you this. The Freedom Centre website, that's the DRFC. Oh, whoops.
Yeah, I've put in some screen captures because I have a fear that technology won't
actually
work.
Yeah, we didn't know we'd have two screens, so, you know, we're ahead of ourselves. Okay, just to give you a bit of background of as to why... an online approach to supporting and providing information to DSG young people is so important. For those of you who don't know, research done here in Melbourne has found that between 9 and 11% of young people indicate that they are not exclusively attracted to the opposite sex, so that's obviously a vast proportion of young people who are questioning or questioning their sexuality or identifying as gay, lesbian, bisexual or trans or anything else. Similar research has found that the process of realising same-sex attraction, and a bit of a disclaimer here, unfortunately, there isn't enough research on people who are trans and gender diverse, so unfortunately we can't really show the outcomes of that research. In terms of same-sex attraction, it typically, you know, the process of realising it typically results in damaged self-esteem, distancing from family and peers, avoiding disclosure of their same-sex attraction, which therefore distorts their relationships when you're not being able to be 100% yourself, obviously. And this, most importantly, increases a sense of isolation, and that's where the internet is so fundamental in how DSG young people, and I mean, there's plenty of research, and Nadine has done some herself about how young people who are diverse in their sexuality or gender access the internet for their information, for their support, and for, you know, storing their own identity before they will in real life. And unfortunately, self-esteem and sometimes disliking themselves is also an outcome. This is a comment we got when on the blog when I sort of announced that the forum was on its way, which we thought really sort of assured us that the path we were on was the right way to go, and what we were attending was actually going to have the right response. So, yeah, they said they hadn't been to the centre yet, as they're too nervous to go, but I'm often on the site because it makes me feel like I'm not the only gay teen out there. So I can't wait for the forum, and also the new edition of the zine will be excellent. Thanks, guys. So that was, we were both like, woo, when we got that. Yes!
And we were so used to having a website that had just been actually pretty much sitting there for a number of years and young people not really engaging with it. And you'd look at our web stats and that was just really depressing. And then all of a sudden there were young people engaging with our website, young people going to the Blogspot. One of my friends is a teacher and she'd been to a Freedom Centre event and had been in a photo, which we'd then posted on the blog. And she said to me, about four of my students came up to me and said, Miss Britton, we saw you on the Freedom Centre Blogspot page. And we were just really shocked that young people were actually going there. We were like, wow, they're actually going to these spaces. And I think in terms of us not going out into those spaces, for a lot of the young people who are, I guess, not out and not open about their sexuality, they're actually more inclined to go somewhere that their peers aren't going, that their school friends aren't going, so that they can be anonymous and be out online, but in an anonymous space.
And that is really specific to our target group and may not apply to other kind of target groups, but that's something that was really important for us and why places like Mogenic and... what's the other ones?
Gay Youth Corner, which that. Is another one that's quite interesting.
Works so well.
We've got the sense that young people who aren't out are not going to, you know, not going to add us as a friend to their MySpace page or their Facebook page because they don't want anyone to know that
and
they're...
And because they use it so much with family and friends that they may or may not be out to or just might not want to tell them that they come to Freedom Centre even if they are out. Okay, so peer support is really fundamental to the way Freedom Centre works. We're huge, or I particularly am a huge advocate for peer support. I think there's not enough of it out there and some of it happens informally, but the way we really are quite conscious that is our approach at Freedom Centre is really important and what makes us work. Perhaps particularly with our target group, but I think with a lot of different groups, marginalised groups out there. This is a quote, and it was particularly about mental health peer support initiatives, which obviously Freedom Centre classifies as. So peer support has been defined by the fact that people who have like experiences can better relate and can consequently offer more authentic empathy and validation. It is also not uncommon for people with similar lived experiences to offer each other practical advice and suggestions for strategies that professionals may not offer or even know about. Maintaining its non-professional vantage point is crucial in helping people rebuild their sense of community when they've had a disconnecting experience. And that's really important, especially when we're talking about young people, especially when we're talking about people with diverse sexuality and gender. And I suppose my role as the Freedom Centre coordinator in communication with WAC management and reporting to funding bodies, etc., is to maintain that balance between how me and my volunteer team, we're providing a service, but we're not professionals and we're there because of our personal lived experiences and then... We're just trained to have that extra bit of skills and knowledge to be able to do that peer role in the most efficient and professional way versus it being a professional health service where people are, you know, qualified and delivering a service as such. And, you know, people, the reason Freedom Centre works is the volunteers want to be there. It's, for some of them, it's their time out, it's their respite time, even though they're on a, you know, they've got responsibilities and a role to maintain, it's still a safe space where they can be themselves as well, just like it is for the visitors. Okay, so basically at the heart of peer-based programs, they do make really amazing achievements and often aren't formally evaluated, but again, that's something that the forum has provided for us. But in achieving community engagement and mobilisation, developing resiliency, coping and help-seeking skills, building healthy peer norms and role models, and that's a lot about what that the rules are for the Freedom Centre and what the volunteers provide. Maintaining credibility and relevance of the programs. We're really dynamic. We change our drop-in session services to suit what's going to happen, what the young people who are accessing the centre want, and any events and workshops and stuff are in response to what they're asking for or what we see as a need or what they identify as their own needs in terms of recreational education. And then sustainability with limited funding. We have 16 or so people that I have working for me sometimes two or three times a week for several hours for free. It's awesome. And they love it. So it also strengthens the protective role that friends would usually provide, and that's fundamental to the peer support and peer education concept. It's, you know, as I think Penny was saying, you know, a lot of young people, when they're most engaged, it's when they're talking in amongst their friends online, and that's what we've kind of that's what the peer model, and that's why I think the forum does work, even though it's not in their space, like their MySpace page or their Facebook page. It's still got that essence of it's their friends and people that are like them that they can talk to and relate to and discuss things with and learn from. And, I mean, in the sexual health sector, I know that most young people learn about sexual health from their friends before teachers, family members, etc. And that's what the peer model tries to make the most of. And, of course, meaningful youth participation. Everything is volunteer. We're a drop-in space. We have volunteers managing the space. It wouldn't exist if people didn't want to be there, both online and offline. Just in terms of, we've had done the Kirtner WACHPA, the WA Centre for Health Promotion Research, did some research on Freedom Centre, and they really found that whilst the young people and the volunteers and staff at Freedom Centre did know what we were doing and knew what we were there for and what we weren't there for, there were people in the sector, in the mental health sector or the sexual health or any health, community health sector, who were worried that we were a bunch of young people counselling each other. And I suppose I just have to put this in there to say we're not. None of us think we're counsellors. It's explicitly stated in our training. And this is where we stand in terms of the model that we provide. We're not providing treatment. We're not caring for people with mental health issues. We're really in that early intervention and prevention stage of things, which is often perhaps underfunded, but lucky for us, funded enough. So we are really doing that selective and indicated prevention and intervention, and then perhaps identifying cases that need referring to treatment, and which we do regularly do, and being able to refer people who are DSG to services which are more likely to provide and have the understanding and skills and knowledge for what they want is really important, because too often young people will make an attempt to seek, you know, counselling or any health services, they might have a bad experience, get disheartened, and then not access again or try to access again, whereas if we can try and reduce the likelihood of that being a bad experience, then we're making a difference there too.
And with the forum and chat, with chat it's more one-on-one, but with the forum it gives us a space to be able to provide that information online, and that's still there, so, you know, it's going to be there in a couple of months. And young people will read posts. They might not post to a post, but post to a thread, but they'll read the thread. So there's more young people getting that information than perhaps the one that it was in response to.
One of the things that kind of sparked or motivated us to do the forum was we were looking at places like Mogenic, and they had sort of their coming out stories forum or whatever, and it, you know, had X amount of, do you know the numbers?
There was one on the Gay Youth Corner, and over like a 10-month period, there'd only been 84 responses to a "Who was the first person you told" thread, but it had been viewed 12,000 times. So we kind of got a real sense that young people were just, you know, they're reading the stuff that's online, even if they're not interacting with it, and they're getting that information, especially for this particular target group, which I think is quite unique too.
Yeah, so some of the background for what we took into consideration and what, again, motivated us was how much young people who are same-sex attracted and gender diverse are using the internet for, and youth in general, to access sensitive information. That's based on some research. Also, how much any marginalised groups access the internet to reduce isolation as well, and access any support that they need. Rehearsing coming out, again, that was something that was found on some of the other websites and forums that were out there for DSG young people, that it was a chance to ask people how they came out, find out what went well, what didn't go well, what things to take into consideration, and it's also a chance for them to come out online before they come out in an anonymous and safer a way for them, because there's that mask of the internet. Before they can then try doing it in a real life capacity with their family and friends.
I had one girl I was talking to about. She was saying that she came out on MSN, and I asked her sort of how that had happened. And her twin sister were showing their dad how to use MSN, and he was on a computer in the same room as her. So she's sitting next to her sister, and she's on the computer, and she wrote, "Mum, Dad, I'm a lesbian." And her sister's sitting next to her going, "What?" And her dad was just like, her dad didn't actually say anything. He responded back to her using MSN. And I said to her, "Do you think you would have come out otherwise?" And she said, "No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't figure out how to do it. I thought about writing a letter, but there was no way that I could do it. So that I would still be in the closet if it wasn't for MSN. I thought that was really interesting.
The internet does a lot for these young people. Basically an opportunity to explore their sexuality and their identity and, in seeing other people who are going through similar stuff. And something that's really important for me, especially on the forum, is that they have the opportunity to actually write their identity and themselves and their community into a state of being in that online environment, but it's still a way of validating themselves. So the desire for community is one of the primary motivating forces for young people to seek others out on the internet and the web, particularly if they live in isolated areas where access to materials about queers as well as other queer people is limited or where such associations may be dangerous.
Also, for especially in Perth and in WA, for some of those young people, it's because they're in rural areas or in regional areas and they can't get to us. But for some, it could be they're in the next suburb. But because they're still in school, they're dependent on their parents to get where they're going, they can't actually access the service in person. So that's having the online space has become really important for those young people.
And we had somebody sign up the day before yesterday to the forum who actually said, I live in Kalgoorlie. We ask reason for us registering for the forum, and it was, I live in Kalgoorlie, and this is basically the closest I'll get to having a group or meeting other people who are like me. So it's true. So considerations we had. We looked at what was already out there, Mojenik and MySpace. We needed to think about anonymity because that is so important to our target group, and thinking about what online spaces are private and what online spaces are public, and that is important for DSG young people to have that privacy and anonymity for them to access a space in order to come out or to find out about diverse sexuality and gender. Also our duty of care, like we said, in terms of the stereotypes of online predators, in terms of other young people linking in with each other, and because we work with under 26, that can be over 18s and under 18s, and that was something we had to really take into consideration. Trying to really stay true to what Freedom Centre provides. We provide that safe social space, which is in quite a secluded environment, quite specific. How we can provide that in the online environment, that was something that was quite took a lot of consideration and planning, and the fact that we're WA based.
Can I just, sorry, do you know any information on whether young people are accessing this website outside of WA?
Yep, they have to register for the website because
for
the forum. They actually have to register, and we ask them to give us their postcode if they're in WA. Most of them have been from WA, and that's kind of interesting because we're starting to sort of get a picture of what suburbs and stuff they're coming from, which will be interesting to see how they're getting that information and what services perhaps in those areas are a lot more knowledgeable, or maybe they're just lucky, or maybe they've just got the internet. And also we have for people outside of the state as well. We've only got, I think, one or two people outside of WA, and we've got one from New Zealand.
But having said that, I've had a few DRFC comments from people asking about services in Queensland or other places. So, it does happen, but we are more WA-based. I think a lot of the way people find our website is through Gay in WA and out in Perth, which are the media sources in WA for DSG people.
And we've provided some online chat support to people in other countries, including somebody who'd found, had done a search for Perth in WA,
it was from Washington,
and they were looking for a gay youth support space in Washington. So the person who was doing the chat outreach at the time did a bit of a search, found some services and sent them back to her and said, try these, and provided them some general peer support anyway. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. We certainly don't reject people if they're not from WA, that's for sure. Generally for the peer model, things that we have to consider and challenges we have to try and overcome, participation and ownership, which is something Freedom Centre does really well because of our model, and we have that established already, thankfully. maintaining and the training the peer volunteer team, that's crucial to, and that's something that we've been constantly developing and evaluating. Being realistic about our limits and role within the health and human services, and that's where that model comes into where we do fit and where we don't fit, and referrals, etc. And that balance that I was talking about between that non-professional and professional, and trying to really juggle that, and that's sort of where the friends and the staff, me,
and
do,
often
do act as that go between the two.
Often what I found in a lot of the other forums that I was looking in, there was often, you know, there might be a thread that had been started, not exactly about sexual health, but about sex. And I would just be sitting there going, oh, there's so much information I should be giving them. So in this way, we've got peers who are trained with that information to be able to give the other young people online, which is really, really important. So I was about to turn into some online vigilante. It was getting a bit scary, and I'm getting a bit too old to be in youth websites.
Okay, so the criteria we tried to stick within. I have to whiz through this, I think. That we didn't want a public space. Freedom Centre, like I said, it was that safe social space that was a bit secluded. So we had to look into what security measures we could take, and we decided to only approve users, so it wasn't just people could register and instantly have access to the forum. That regular moderation and participation by staff and volunteers. So my volunteers go through general volunteer training, and then they go through their online training, which teaches them about, and they already have some of that established knowledge, but then about using the forum and how they can use the forum to moderate and maintain stuff. So if people say something disrespectful or post their personal details or anything that doesn't stick within our terms and conditions, we can moderate that and change it and either send them an email or just say moderate it for privacy or whatever. So we have that ability. Also, it was really important for us to have no personal messaging functions because, again, we wanted the forum is an opportunity for us to try and encourage people to, it was like a bridging for people that could to get to the centre itself. So we kind of wanted people to encourage that building of trust and friendship before they started exchanging personal details online, which is something that was a safety concern for us. And then limited options in terms of their personal profiles as to what personal details they could put. So they've got all the interests and, you know, favourite books, favourite whatever, but there's nothing about email address, anything like that.
When you're approving users, what's the criteria for approving? What's the process?
They have to be under 26. And the reason for them registering, if it was completely inappropriate, we would probably email them and have a discussion.
One person the other day who registered because she wanted to do research on how we'd got our forum to work for another organisation. It was in Queensland, so we didn't approve her, obviously, because we were respecting the privacy and confidentiality of the young people, but we're happy to talk to her about how we've done it. So. Yeah, yep. Your reason for joining. So, I mean, admittedly, somebody could completely lie, but that's why we've got those security settings around. They can't private message, they can't post details about themselves and how they could, their phone numbers and things like that, because we don't want to be facilitating unsafe encounters with other people.
Okay, yeah. We'll just quickly run through this one slide. Sorry, we'll be... Oh, we're 1 minute over, sorry. But really, it really has enhanced our ability to do what we do in terms of it's created more meaningful conversations online that maybe get glazed over or don't get honed into in the informal drop-in space in person. Somebody can say something in the drop-in space and it might get missed, but it just doesn't get missed when it's in writing on the forum. And it's really enhanced our sense of community within the people who are accessing the centre already. Yeah, and it's just increased our capacity to do what we're supposed to do primarily. Some of the threads that we've covered, there's a range of issues there. I'm going to have to glaze over them, I'm afraid. And just a couple, well, there's a few quotes, but some of the quotes on the forums, and that's been really important for us, is to have it in writing, because sometimes people might say stuff in the centre and we go, oh yeah, that's great, we are doing the right thing, but then we forget it. So now it's in writing, it's great. So yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Sorry if we went 2 minutes over time.
We'll be around for the rest of the conference. If you've got any more questions, please just come and talk to us and we'll tell you, or at least try to. Thanks.